Father, we just thank you tonight for your word. We thank you for your presence here. We thank you for the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit, that he is here to enlighten our eyes and to open our hearts to receive what we need to see so we can walk free in every area of our life, so that we can be disciples, we can continue in your word, know the truth, and walk in freedom. And Father, we thank you for wholeness, that your word brings wholeness to our lives. So thank you so much, Father God. Holy Spirit, we just thank you that you know where each of us are tonight, and you know how to reach us, what to say to us, what to speak into our hearts. And we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to look at something I've been thinking about all week. And we'll pull some healing applications into this, but if you want a title, it's Paths. I was thinking, as I was getting ready for this message, I was thinking about the things that have been going on in the world, but more specifically in our country, and just how you don't have to be too observant to know that there's just this growing state of unrest in our country. And you know, our streets are just filled with pockets of people that are rioting, and they're rioting over this, that, and the other. They have all kinds of things that they're rioting over, different situations. And you could describe what's going on in some places, especially what just recently happened in Charlotte, as anarchy. You know, it's a state of anarchy in some of these places. And so I was just thinking about anarchy, and of course, you know, I love to look up words and come up, find what a good, simple definition for a word is. And one of the dictionaries said that anarchy is a situation of confusion, disorder, and wild behavior due to the denial and non-recognition of authority and order. And you could say governmental. In the case of the things that have gone on in our country, you know, they've been rioting over racial issues. They've rioted over immigration. There's people that have rioted, remember, over the past couple of years, over the economy, things like that. And so this has been going on for quite a while. But it's really, you know, and they will say, well, we're doing this, and they will point to the cause being the leaders of the country. You know, we all know that our president is responsible for everything that's going on, right? He's being blamed for everything. And so they'll point the finger at current leaders. They'll point the finger at the issues that seem to be the hot buttons right now. But really, according to the definition of the word anarchy, the real reason for that behavior is the fact that there's a non-recognition of authority and order. That's really what's at the root of it. They're not recognizing authority. They're not recognizing order. They're thinking that their way of dealing with the situation is what's going to solve the problem. And so, you know, the cure is not doesn't lie in just those issues being addressed. Because even if these issues were addressed, if immigration were, the problem with immigration were solved, if somehow someone could magically address the whole issue with the racial tensions in the country, if the economy, if, you know, all of the things that people want to blame, if those things were addressed, there still would be some issue. Because we people, by nature, have their own opinions, and they have their own preferences and their own convictions about how things should be done. So as long as there's human beings have a tendency not to recognize authority and order. And really, that trickles down all the way, even into the life of a Christian. Now you might say, not me, I don't have any anarchy in my life. Well, let's just trust me. We'll go on here and we'll find out that there might be a little bit of that. And so the cure is submission to authority. Submission to, and I'm talking about the authority of God's word. Yes. I'm talking about the order that God's word will bring into our lives. The rule of God's law of love. I'm talking about those types of things. I'm not talking about, you know, the old messages of submission and authority, you know, that type of, I'm talking about, we heard that pretty strong when we went to Raymond, didn't we? So how do you apply that, say, to the life of a believer? What issues in our lives might be in a state of confusion, disorder, and wild behavior? Well, if there is an area of our life that's in a state of disorder or confusion, and there's some crazy behavior going on, who do we blame for that? Well, we're going to blame that one, or we're going to blame the job, or we're going to blame the problems, all the things that are going on in our lives that, you know, that we don't have any control over. We want to look for somebody to blame. But when you start reading the book of Proverbs, and that's where we'll go here, the first few chapters of Proverbs talks a lot about the results of a mindset of anarchy. And of course, they're addressing people that are more of a non-believer. But I think we could pinpoint some things even in our own lives, you know, tongue in cheek, that there might be a little anarchy in our lives. That might be what's causing some of the problems that we all face, especially issues that we're just not seeing getting resolved. So starting here in the book of Proverbs, chapter 1, Proverbs personifies wisdom. It treats wisdom as if it was a person, a personality. And so here the very first thing we see, starting in verse 20 of Proverbs 1, and this is an alternate translation called The Voice. You know, we have all these people. Some of the things that are going on in our country reminds me of back in the 60s, you know, the rioting and things. They remind me of the things that went on in the 60s with the race riots and then things that were going on during the Vietnam War. It's at that kind of that same scale.
Same spirit.
It's the same spirit behind it. And so these people are just crazy. It's just and the more of them that get involved, the worse it seems to get. There's just like a frenzy, like the crowds are just frenzied and they just kind of build on each other. But it's interesting because in Proverbs 1, it tells us that there's another voice that's crying in the streets.
Amen.
So all the while these people are acting so crazy and wanting to find blame and looking for an occasion to act out the way that they're acting, there's another voice that's crying out in the streets. It says in verse 20, there's another voice in town. It belongs to Lady Wisdom, who calls out in the street. She cries out in the town square. At the city gates, in the noisy city streets, you can hear her speaking over the racket. So all the while, this stuff's going on even in a natural sense. The Spirit of God is there as well, trying to get people,
Amen.
Trying to get the attention of people,
yep.
and to get order back. And you know, our country, we were just talking about this the other day, our country, people are sending missionaries to our country now,
yep.
because we've become so lawless and irresponsible, that now they're sending people here. Our country is full of people who just don't want to acknowledge the authority and governments of God. And so what's the result of that? We're seeing this crazy behavior in people, and everybody claims the right to have their opinion. And you know, yes, we have the right to have an opinion, but let's keep it civil. But it says that this other voice is crying in the streets, speaking over the racket. Lady Wisdom says, "You simple, naive people, how long will you love your feeble ways? You simpletons, how long will you enjoy making fun of what you don't understand? You fools, how long will you hate learning what truly matters? Turn to me and receive my gentle correction. Watch and I will pour out my spirit to you, or on you, excuse me. I will share with you my wise words in order to redirect your lives. You hear, but you have refused to answer my call. My hands reached out, but no one noticed. All my advice, all my correction, all have been neglected. You wanted nothing of them. So I will be the laughter you hear when misfortune comes, and it will come. I will be the mocking sound when panic grips you. When panic comes like stormy blast, when misfortune sweeps like a whirlwind, when sorrow and anguish weigh you down, this is when they will call on me, but I will not respond." Now, this could be God, and this could be wisdom. It could be either one. But we know God is the Spirit of wisdom. He says, "I will not respond. They will be frantic to find me, but they won't be able. Because they have despised knowledge of my ways and refused to respect and honor the eternal, because they rejected my advice and turned down my correction, they will surely get what's coming to them. They'll be forced to eat the fruit of their wicked ways. They'll gorge themselves on the consequences of their choices." Do you see that? Now, what is it that people want to do when things go bad? They want to blame God.
Yeah.
They want to say, "God did this to me," or "It's God punishing me," or "God's trying to teach me something through these horrible circumstances." No, it says It says they'll be forced to eat the fruit of their wicked ways, and they'll gorge themselves on the consequences of their choices. You see, it's turning away from me that brings death to the simple, and it's self-satisfaction that destroys the fools. Well, we know that the book of Proverbs tells us that there's a way that seems right to man. There's a way, but the end of it is death. You know, and I could say that that's across the board in the life of every Christian. There's God's way, and then there's the way that seems right to us. And we could say this applies to every area of our lives. It could apply to our health. It could apply to our financial well-being, our relationships, our how we conduct ourselves in the workplace. You know, we could just go on and on and on. All the things that concern us as human beings. There's a way that seems right to us. And then there's God's way. There's wisdom. And that's our job, is to find out what the wisdom of God says pertaining to all the different issues that we face in life. That's the only work we don't have to work to please God and to try to get God to bless us. God's already blessed us. Our job is to learn where God's blessing is and how to cooperate with the blessing of God, which is what wisdom is all about, learning where the blessing of God is and aligning our lives with the blessing of God. And so, you know, there is no good or righteous outcome when we do things our own way. There's just no righteous outcome, and that's what Proverbs 1 is trying to tell us here. We can't blame the economy if we don't handle our finances God's way. We can't blame our spouse if things are going wrong. We can't blame them. We can't blame genetics if we're dealing with physical things. Now, those may be factors, but God has something that so far supersedes all of those things, and it's His wisdom. It's His authority, His rule of law, if you want to call it that, His wisdom. We can't blame terrorism and all of the things, these rogue nations and leaders that are in the world today, we can't blame them for if we're experiencing anxiety and fear. Because the guy that's honoring God and walking with God right next to you has got the peace of God that passes understanding, because he's following the wisdom of God. So we either do things our way or we do things God's way, and the results will be evident to everyone which way we've decided to go. We can't even blame the devil for all of these things.
Yeah.
People want to blame the devil. Now, I'm not saying, again, that the devil's never a factor. He is a factor at times. You know, sometimes it's just Tony Cook, what did he say years ago to us? He said, some of this stuff happens, he says, because you're in the will of God, and sometimes it happens when you're out of the will of God. So it's you need to determine what the wisdom of God for what the real cause is. But in this passage here that we just read, verses 24 and 25 basically are telling us that anarchy is the reason these things happen. Because it says, you heard, but you refused. You refused to listen. You didn't listen to what I said, or you didn't care about what I had to say about what you're dealing with. He said, you refused. he says, I will share with you my wise words in order to redirect your lives. Then he says, but you hear, but you have refused to answer my call. My hands have reached out, but no one noticed. All my advice, all my correction have been neglected. You wanted nothing of them. So he's describing to us a state of anarchy, even in a person who calls themselves a Christian, that there's things sometimes that are going on in our lives. Our finances are in a state of anarchy. Again, anarchy being confusion, disorder, and wild behavior. It's just like, what's going on? I just can't figure out what's going on. Well, that's describing anarchy, isn't it? If we would go back and look at, am I submitting and recognizing the authority and the rule of law of God's word? Because if I don't, anarchy is going to be what the result. Verses 26 through 32 are definitely explaining or showing or describing wild behavior, confusion, and disorder. This is what's going to happen. And again, so often we'll either just sit in that place and we'll allow that to continue to happen, or we'll begin to seek God for he answers. You know, the Bible tells us if we will seek him, he'll answer us.
Amen.
He will show us the things we need to see. I shared that a couple weeks ago when I shared at the service about the Holy Spirit has the answer for every problem we face. He knows the keys. He knows the keys that we need to get a hold of to get these situations in our lives turned around. And so all the things that we want to blame, they could be a factor, but they're not at the root of the problem. The problem is usually because we just don't want to do it God's way. That's anarchy. I don't want to do it God's way. I don't want to honor God with my finances. Because it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't make sense to me to honor God with my finances. You know, how can I give away what I need and be better off? Does that make any sense? Doesn't make sense. Natural sense, does it? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make natural sense. But that's, we want it all to make natural sense. So wisdom said, turn to me and receive my gentle correction. Watch and I'll pour out my spirit on you. I will share with you my wise words in order to redirect your life. So if there's something going on, we need to listen to him. He said, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will share with you my wise words in order to redirect your life. Doesn't that sound like Ephesians 1?
Yeah.
God wants to redirect our lives. Any area that there's a state of anarchy in our lives, it could be your healing. Could be something that's going on that you just cannot get it. You can't get victory there. Are you submitted to the Word of God? Are you recognizing God's authority and what God has to say about that situation? I've shared so much over the past months about some of the situations I went through and how, you know, when I first found out that I got the diagnosis for cancer, I made this decision that I was just going to go on a real strict diet and I was going to eat a certain way and I was just going to be very rigid in how, you know, because people are so faithful to pump information your way, you know. Everybody's got their input, what they think you should do. And so there for a little while, I thought, okay, I'm going to go on a particular type of diet, you know. And even my doctor told me about a book that I should read, The Anti-Cancer Diet, and blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, and I started down that path, but something didn't feel right about it. And, of course, God is so faithful. If you'll stop when something isn't right and you will submit yourself to him, God will give you what you need to know. And what he told me right away is you can't trust in the diet. You can't trust. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't eat foods that are good for our bodies that could maybe aid. They could be a help to that healing process. I think that's a part of it. But God didn't want me putting my faith and my trust in food. He wanted me to put my faith and trust in him because God wants the glory. He wants people to know that he's the one who brought healing into our lives, that he's the one that turned that situation, redirected our lives and turned that situation around. And so, you know, our human nature is we want to get in there and we want to be part of that answer. And yes, we're part of that answer, but our part is to seek the wisdom of God, to seek the direction of the Holy Spirit. And so this passage of Scripture tells us that one of the most basic reasons for all human issues and failures is what we would call a lack of the fear of the Lord. Just a lack of respecting God and his word. You know, if you don't do what he says to do, you don't respect him. I know this is not a woo-hoo message, but I think it's time for us to take a serious look at some of these things. Listen to verse 29. It says, because they despised knowledge of my ways and also refused to respect and honor the eternal. Listen to the Amplified here. It says, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. And in brackets it says that the fear of the Lord is obeying him with reverence and awe-filled respect. So God says, this is how I want you to conduct your financial affairs. This is how I want you to conduct your health and healing. This is how I want you to conduct your marriage. This is how I want you to conduct yourself in the workplace. Those are, and our heeding that, recognizing that, and submitting our life to it, that's walking in the fear of the Lord. It's recognizing his authority in those areas of our lives. It's either that or it's doing it our own way. So are we going to do it our way And we're going to end up with our own results. We're going to end up with things not working very well. And then we can't figure out why it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, because we're doing it our way. We're not doing it God's way. He said, because they rejected my advice and turned down my correction. You know, God will always bring correction to our lives. Always, when things aren't right. You know, and again, we have to have enough wisdom to know if this is just an attack of the enemy, or is this, am I eating the fruit of my ways? Am I reaping what I've sown? And you know what? We're old enough in the Lord to know those things. We should know. You know, when you're going down the wrong road, have you ever been on, well, of course you have, you've been on the road and you're driving and you know you took a wrong turn? It happened to me. It happened to me back a couple months ago. I was over at my daughter's house. And you know, Dwayne always drives when we go over there. And so there's all these roundabouts in Lakeville. And so it's the second roundabout or the third roundabout. I took one too many rounds on that roundabout. Yeah. And it was like, I was supposed to turn on the second one while I went to the third. And I kept going on to the third roundabout part. You know, if you've been on one, how they can be. And it was nighttime. It was dark. And so I'm on this road. I'm thinking, none of this looks familiar. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to know when you're on the wrong, in the wrong place, or you're on the wrong path. Well, you know, you can either just keep on driving and hope that it's going to get you to the right place, which is, that did not do that. I pulled over, I got my little phone out, and I plugged in where I wanted to go, and it got me there. But it was a long roundabout way, roundabout. So you know when you're on the wrong path. We all know that. There's something on the inside of you that just says, this is not the way. This is not the way you should be going. You make the correction. Heed his advice. And so oftentimes the confusion, the disorder, and the crazy behavior that we might be experiencing in our lives, whether it's our health or our finances or relationships or whatever, it's often just a result of our own doing. We're just not seeking God's wisdom. We're not heeding God's wisdom. We're not doing it his way. We're doing it our way. And again, the Amplified says, they shall eat the fruit of their own ways and be satiated with the penalty of their own devices. It says, this is strong. For the turning away of the naive will kill them. And the careless ease of self-righteous fools will destroy them. You know, a New Testament counterpart to this would be what James says in James chapter 1, where it tells us to be doers of God's word and not hearers only. The Amplified Bible says, but be doers. Obey the word, obey the message, and not merely listeners to it, betraying yourselves into deception by reasoning contrary to the truth. Wow. Wow. It says you betray yourself into a place of deception when you reason contrary to the truth. Oh, God, I just can't do it your way. You just don't know how hard it is. You just don't know how difficult this is for me to do. I can't do it your way. I think I know a better way. You know, what is it telling us? What's going to be the result of that? Deception. We reason ourselves, betray ourselves into a place of deception when we reason contrary to God's truth. And we just have to bite the bullet. Sometimes doing it God's way is not easy on our flesh. We don't like it. We don't like what the Word tells us to do and how He tells us to do it. But God knows the end from the beginning. He knows how it's going to work best for us. He knows our frame. He knows He created us. He knows the way things are going to work best. But wisdom will always set us on the right path. It'll always get us on the right route. You know, it's like that night my little phone served as wisdom. It got me on the right, back on the right path, on the right course. I took a wrong turn. You know, and I, thank God, I just didn't keep driving until I found something. We didn't live there long enough for me to see anything that was too familiar way out in the boondocks. I mean, I was way out in the farm country. It's like, no, this looks familiar. And of course, it's getting darker and darker and darker. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33 says, whoever listens to me, this is wisdom speaking, this is the blessing now. See, this is the upside of this message now. Okay, we're going to have the upside. Whoever listens to me, wisdom, will live securely and in confident trust and will be at ease without fear or dread of evil. Mm-hmm. So it's not just listening to wisdom, but it's doing what wisdom tells us to do. Amen? It's not enough just to know what wisdom says. We have to be doers of what wisdom tells us to do. So he says, listen to me, and you will live securely and in confident trust, and you will be at ease without fear or dread of evil. So the pursuit of wisdom and honoring wisdom will always bring us to a place of security and a place of peace, and it will put us on paths that are paths of life. So it will be life to our bodies. It will be life to our financial lives. It will be life to our relationships with other people. But it will always put us on a place where there's life involved. If we continue to experience the crooked places, you know, the Bible talks about straight paths and crooked paths. If we keep hitting these crooked places, well, we need to stop and take inventory. What wisdom have I neglected to heed? Proverbs chapter 2 and 3 and 4, all three of those chapters talk about paths. They use the word. If you were to get your Bible out and color every place where path is mentioned, it's amazing. And it tells us the blessings of heeding wisdom, and it tells us the consequences of not heeding wisdom. The terminology that's used. I mean, when we heed God's wisdom, it sets us on a right path, a good path. A plain path, a smooth path, clear paths. The words that are used are over and over and over again in those three chapters. But when a person chooses to do things their way, it's a crooked path. Path, a path of death, it says in some places. So when we reject God's wisdom and his authority, and we fail to treasure God's commandments, that leads people down the wrong path. You know, it's not, you know, if things are bad and they're not getting better, it's not, if you don't do it God's way, you'll eventually come to the place where you'll want to conclude that the word just doesn't work, that the stuff just doesn't work. But it does work. God, let God be true and every man a liar. If something's not working, I think I've said this 2 weeks ago, if it's not working, stop and find out why. There's a reason it's not working. There's some instruction or some discipline that God brought that we're just blowing it off. We're just not taking it seriously. You know, it's not because this stuff doesn't work. It works. It works. Amen? I mean, everybody in here could say, I struggled with tithing for years. I struggled. I just had a tough time honoring God in this area. But when I started doing it, it's amazing. Who here could testify what a difference that made in their lives? Amen. I mean, it just made a huge difference in our lives to honor God. It's honoring God. It's not just honoring God because we're giving and we're honoring him with our tithe. It's honoring God because we're obeying him.
That's right.
You know, I people always say, well, let's take the offering now, receive there. I'd rather hear us say, let's honor God tonight. Mm-hmm. Let's honor God with our finances. Because that's what tithing is all about. It's about honoring God. It's about recognizing who it was that gave us the wherewithal, the intelligence to be in a place to make a living in the first place. Mm-hmm. To be living in a country that's one of the most financially blessed countries in the world. We could have been born somewhere that's just destitute. But we're here. Mm-hmm. We're here. We're in a place where we have opportunities that just abound. Mm-hmm. But I just challenge you, I'll just read a little bit of this. Proverbs chapter 2, 3 and 4. Over and over and over again, the word path comes out. Different types of paths. You know, don't we want to be on the right path?
Amen.
Have you ever heard somebody, or have you ever talked about somebody that you know and you just said, well, they just took a wrong turn. They went down the wrong path. And what are you doing? You're describing somebody that things aren't going well in their life. They took a wrong path. They took a wrong turn. And that's exactly what these three chapters are describing. They're describing for us, if you'll live your life this way, according to wisdom that's crying in the streets, if you'll live your life this way, the path is going to be a good path. But if you choose not to, if you just decide to do it your way instead, it's not going to be a good path. It's going to be a crooked path. Now, did God put you on that path? That crooked path? No, we put ourselves on that crooked path. So let's just read just a little bit here. I don't want to take too long to do this. Let's see here. I mean, you can see all the yellow paths that I've highlighted here. I mean, this word is just constantly in here. I'll just pick up here in chapter 2. It says, this is verse 6, this is the Amplified. For the Lord gives skillful and godly wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores away sound knowledge for the righteous, those who are right in right standing with him. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, those of honorable character and moral courage. He guards the paths of justice. He preserves the way, you could say, the path of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness, justice in every circumstance, and integrity in every good path. For skillful and godly wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you. Understanding and discernment will guard you to keep you from the way, we could say, the path of the evil and the evil man. For the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprightness. So in other words, they were walking on the path of uprightness and then they departed from the path of uprightness because they stopped heeding the wisdom of God. For the man who speaks perverse things, for those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness or the paths of darkness, who find joy in doing evil and delight in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked, and who are devious in their ways, or you could say paths. And then jump down to, It talks about a woman who leaves the home of her husband. I don't want to say too much about that. It says, her paths lead to the dead. None who go into her return again, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of a good man, that is, those of personal integrity, moral courage, and honorable character, and keep the paths of the righteous. You just see this word used over and over in chapter 3. He says, keep my commandments for length of days and years of life worth living, and tranquility and prosperity, the wholeness of life's blessing, they will add to you. So heeding the wisdom of God, it says, will cause long life. It will cause tranquility and prosperity. The wholeness of life's blessings, I like that, is what keeping God's commandment or heeding his blessing, his wisdom, will add to you. It says, do not let mercy and kindness and truth leave you. Instead, let these qualities define you. Bind them securely about your neck. Write them on the tablets of your heart. So find the favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Isn't that awesome? You walk in the wisdom of God, you heed the wisdom of God. It says you will find favor with God and with men. Trust in, this is a passage we all quote, trust in and rely confidently on the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, know and acknowledge and recognize him. Remember we talked about anarchy being a failure to recognize authority? Well, here it's telling us, recognize God, recognize his wisdom in all your ways. In other words, there are not some ways that God says, well, you can handle that on your own. It says all your ways, in all your ways, you should be acknowledging and recognizing him. And it says, and he will make your path straight and smooth, removing obstacles that block your way. Do not be wise in your own eyes. See, when we do it our way, we're wise in our own eyes. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord with reverent awe and obedience, and turn entirely away from evil. It will be health to your body, your marrow, your nerves, your sinews, your muscles, all your inner parts, and refreshment, physical well-being to your bones. Then it's interesting, it goes into honor the Lord with your substance, with your wealth, and with the first fruits of your crops, your income. Your barns will be abundantly filled. Isn't it interesting? Right after talking about leaning not to our own understanding and trusting in God in all our ways and acknowledge him, isn't it interesting? It immediately starts talking about our physical health and our financial health. What two things command more worry time in a person's life than sickness and financial problems?
Exactly.
Because people don't heed the wisdom of God. They don't do it God's way. They don't live their lives God's way, and so they end up in physical problems or they end up in financial problems. And yet here he addresses them immediately here. Your barns will be abundantly filled. Your vats will overflow with new wine. It says, my son, do not reject or take lightly the discipline of the Lord. You know, if we're not doing it right, and if we'll go to God and say, God, something's not working here, something's not right, you know what? He will show us the turns that need to be taken. Remember, we saw that in chapter 1, the correction, corrective discipline. The problem is not the corrective discipline of God. Amen. We find ourselves in a problem. We need to be smart enough to immediately go to where the solution is, which is the wisdom of God. And he'll get us back on a straight path. It says, don't despise his correction. If you need to make some changes, make them. Amen. That would be the smart thing to do. Verse 13, happy, blessed, considered fortunate to be admired is the man who finds skillful and godly wisdom, and the man who gains an understanding and insight, learning from God's word and life's experiences. For wisdom's profit is better than the profit of silver. That's really hard to get your head around. It says wisdom's profit is better than the profit of silver, and her gains is better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for compares with her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are highways, or you could say paths of pleasantness and favor, and all her paths are peace. And it just goes on and on to describe a blessed life for heeding the wisdom of God. It just goes over and over and over and over. And you could go into chapter 4 and see the same thing again. Heeding the wisdom of God through the lips of a parent, perhaps. And what will happen as a result of that. The very end of the chapter, it says, let your eyes look. This is verse 25. Let your eyes look directly ahead toward the path of moral courage, and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you toward the path of integrity. Consider well and watch carefully the path of your feet, and all your ways will be steadfast and sure. Do not turn to the right nor to the left where evil may lurk. Turn your foot from the path of evil. Now, if you're on a trip, when we go on trips, road trips, we love road trips, but when we go on road trips, I'm usually the navigator. I do a pretty good job, don't
Amen.
I?
Amen. Thank you.
And now we've got these wonderful devices that'll make it even easier. But, you know, if you find out you're on the wrong path, if you took a wrong turn, and you're not, are you going to get where you want to go? I mean, you will eventually, but it's going to be lots of detours. It's going to be lots of turns, lots of corrections. But how smart is that just to keep on the same path? That's what, pull over and check your map, check your phone, whatever you've got to do, check it. Because if you're not getting to where God says you should be, again, all the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes and amen. If we're not experiencing what God says belongs to us, we should stop and do a little checkup. What wisdom have I neglected? What law of God have I not recognized or acknowledged? What turn did I take? Did I trust in myself here somewhere? What turn did I take that took me off the right path? Because what God promises us are paths that are smooth. He says he'll even remove the obstacles from our paths. I love that. I absolutely love that. That sure is a lot better than confusion, disorder, and wild behavior, isn't it? So that's what we'll end up with when we don't do things God's way. Walk in the fear of the Lord. And it's interesting because there's three specific places in Psalms and Proverbs that tell us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Psalm 111, Proverbs 1, and Proverbs 9 all talk about the fear of the Lord. In other words, honoring God because he is God, and doing things his way, obeying him, that's where wisdom begins. So that's the very first step. So if we're in out and out disobedience in an area of our life, we're not doing what God said, this is the way, walk in it. We're not walking in the fear of the Lord. We can't expect to experience God's wisdom. We can't expect to see it. But thank God for the Holy Ghost, who's there to bring correction. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 12 says, when you walk, your steps will not be impeded, for your path will be clear and open. Who doesn't want that? It doesn't. Our lives don't have to be obscure. They do not have to be like we just can't see around the corner. We just can't see what's coming. That is not God's plan. He doesn't want us walking, groping through life, trying to find, you know, our way. It says our paths should be clear. In fact, it tells us that the path of the righteous shines brighter and brighter. Each step should be brighter and brighter, like the noonday. Mm-hmm. That's the path of God. That's what God has for us. So this is something that we all need to pay attention to. Again, if the stuff's not working, if your finances, you just can't seem to get victory in this area, or your health, or you're dealing with relationship issues that you just don't seem to be able to overcome once and for all, where did we not recognize the wisdom of God? What part of God's word have we chosen not to honor and to obey? And those are sobering things to have to deal with. Pastor and I both shared, there's times when the correction of God comes and I would rather I had been beaten with a stick. It hurts. It hurts because you know you dishonored God in an area. It wasn't just that you just did it your way. You dishonored God. And He doesn't deserve our dishonor. Amen? Amen. So are we on our own doing this? We're not on our own because we've been created, recreated in Christ Jesus. Ephesians chapter 2 says we are God's own handiwork, His workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which He prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which He prearranged and made ready for us to live. We laugh because there's a guy, when we used to live here, we used to go into Von Hansen's occasionally to pick up, you know, steak for grilling and stuff like that. And one of the guys, one of the butchers that worked there, one day we walked up to the counter and Duane said to him, "How's it going?" The guy goes, "I'm living the dream." Well, you know, he wasn't living the dream because he wasn't acting like he was living the dream. He was not living the good life which God had prearranged and made ready for him to live, obviously. He was living. So every once in a while we'll say that to one another, we're living the dream. So according to Ephesians 2:10, we have been recreated in Christ. We've been filled with the Spirit. That enables us to recognize the voice of God. Remember, recognition is a huge part. Recognizing and acknowledging and submitting to the authority and rule of God in every area of life. The Holy Ghost is there to help us do that. Mm-hmm. Amen. He will woo us. He will draw us to do that. He is so kind and so gentle the way He deals with it, with us. And it's God's good pleasure for us to live, to be successful in life. This is not like a carrot that's dangled way out there that it's impossible to even attain to. No, God wants this for us. But it's going to require that we stop trying to do things our way, that we do it God's way, that we honor Him, that we walk in the fear of the Lord, and then that we just trust the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of us to help us walk it out. Amen? If you know, there's an old saying, and I've quoted this before, but it's do this and live, the law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. A better word the gospel brings, it bids me fly and gives me wings. See, we live under a covenant where God gave us what it takes to obey Him. We have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of us to obey God. He helps us to obey God. Amen? Amen. All right. Well, I went a little longer than I should have there, but...